Here in the Forest of Elandril, we elves defend the woods from beasts and men. I myself have helped drive off goblin raiders, slain a giant spider, and composed an elven symphony for the Blood Moon Harvest Festival, and that was before lunch. So when I'm not sliding down the trunk of a barbarian elephant beast after killing it and its occupants with only my dagger and a few arrows, I look forward to coming home to a dungeon crate. Dungeon Crate is a monthly subscription box service crafted specifically for RPG and tabletop gamers. Miniatures, dice, tokens, coins, maps, modules, terrain pieces, handmade items, RPG jewelry, and more are yours for only a few gold per month. You even get a digital crate along with a physical one as an added bonus. As an elf, I appreciate quality craftsmanship, and Dungeon Crate delivers, even if it's put together by humans.
Sir, sentries have discovered several dwarves and a wizard trespassing in our woods.
I was wondering what that smell was. DungeonCrate.com. Are you ready? Let the adventure begin.
Hey, listen, nerds. It's time for another Two-Headed Nerd Answer of the Week podcast with Joe and Matt.
Greetings, corporate slaves, and welcome to another edition of the Answer of the Week. My name's Matt Baum. You can find me at Matt Baumstein on the Twitter. I am one of the hosts of the Two-Headed Nerd comic book podcast. Sitting across me is the other one. Introduce yourself, fool.
I'm Joe Patrick.
Hey, where can they find you?
I am on the Twitter at JoePatrick116.
And what do you do?
I'm the co-host of this program.
Hey, there he is, folks.
Wait, don't they know that already?
Well, still, we have to introduce ourselves, reset it for new peeps and stuff, you know? We're reaching out.
Look, if they are just coming onto this show with episode 100 and whatever the f*** this is.
They just searched, they jumped in, they don't know. This is, how do you, whenever you find new podcast, you go back to episode one and start? No, you don't.
Yeah.
Here's how this works.
Take a drink until you introduce the cocktail.
Here's how this works every week. Joey posts the question of the week on the Two-Headed Nerd forums. It happens on Sundays. You can hear that question on the show as well. And then you can go to said forums. You can write a book about your answer if you would like. Or you can call us at 402-819-4894. It is our Google voicemail system, okay? So you leave us a message.
It's true.
With your answer. Or for the techno Illuminati out there, you can email us an MP3 at twoheadednerd@gmail.com with your answer. The only thing is, it needs to be 2 minutes or less. There's lots of people calling in. This cannot be a 10-hour show. We have real lives.
We don't even want it to be a one-hour show.
So, 2 minutes or less. Before we get into it, Joe Patrick, why don't you reset the question for me?
This week's question came from Elise Wisdom.
Who did not bother to call in.
Who did not bother to call in an answer to her own question.
Wow.
Basically, she wants to know who's got the worst boss in comics. Or which character. Who is the worst boss / which character has the worst boss?
I love it. Before we get to your answers, we'd like to introduce the cocktail of the week.
Yeah.
We're building a little cocktail repertoire, and you'll hear more about that later. Right now, we're drinking a little martini I call the Triple J, named after J. Jonah Jameson, one of the worst bosses in the world. The Triple J is 1.5 ounces of vodka or gin, depending on your taste, 3/4 ounces of limoncello to set it off a bit, and then 2 teaspoons of red raspberry preserve to give it a little color and a little sugar. It is garnished.
And to make it look like you got floating in your drink.
It is garnished with an orange peel, and it is served in a martini glass, of course. Because we're stylish.
Excelsior.
Excelsior. That is boozy, and hey, that is good.
Hachi machi.
Heyo. It's like Mad Men in here. I love it.
Yowza, where's my smokes?
Let's get right to it. And hopefully...
Well, that is boozy.
Yeah. Hopefully you guys didn't take this too seriously, because I don't want anyone getting fired on our account. Let's go to Anthony, currently residing in Brooklyn.
Sup nerds, Anthony currently from Brooklyn here. I think in comics there's a ton of horrible boss situations, but I would argue that the employees in these situations often know what they're getting into, and if they don't, they should. Like, let's say you're a henchman, right? More often than not, you're going to get punched in the face and do some jail time, and if neither of those scenarios happen, the guy you're henching for might kill you, like the Joker, Lex Luthor, or Dr. Doom.
Yeah.
Hare Star in Preacher, he's a horrible boss. But he's the head of a paramilitary organization charged with taking down Jesse Custer. And Jesse Custer is a guy who can tell you to go f*** yourself, and you're actually going to go f*** yourself. How do you think that's going to play out? Max Lord. Now, I love Ted Kord, and I was very sad when that happened to him. But Max Lord has always been a prick, and a prick with mental powers. How do you think that's going to play out? Now, if you're hired by Adrian Veidt, Ozymandias, and Watchmen, there's that moment of elation where you're like, holy crap, I am working for the smartest and most successful guy on the planet. But there's also that moment of anxiety where you're like, holy crap, I'm working for the smartest and most successful guy on the planet. But that's just conjecture. Let's look at the comics. Now, in the pages of Before Watchmen, Ozzy has this really brilliant and capable female assistant that he pushes in front of a bus because he doesn't want to get found out, right? And when he's putting together his wackadoo peace plan, he hires scores of scientists and scores of contractors and murders every single one of them. Moloch, former bad guy, goes to prison, finds Jesus, gets hired by Veidt, finds cancer, and a bullet in the head. See, when you get hired by Veidt, you think everything's great until suddenly it isn't. And there's that sickening moment of realization when you know you're going to die and have no idea why it's happening. And I think that makes Ozymandias the most horrible boss. Thank you.
Hard to argue with that one.
Off to a roaring good start.
Yeah, your retirement plan? Death. Yeah. And if you're lucky, it's quick. And if you're unlucky, Rorschach comes to visit you.
That's a good answer, Anthony. I like it.
Yeah, that's a really good one. Well thought out, too. Let's go to the Google voicemail. See what we got next here. Short and sweet, 36 seconds from Minneapolis. I love it.
Hey, guys, it's D with the answer of the week.
Hey, D!
And I'm thinking to myself that being a herald of Galactus has to be just the craftiest job out there. But then I thought to myself, if Venture Brothers has taught me anything, it's that henching is also a job. So the worst job has to be working for the Joker. Because if you didn't laugh at one of his jokes, he'll just pop right in the head. So yeah, being a henchman for the Joker, worst job ever. Take care, guys.
D, glad to have you back. Thought we lost you. And he's right.
I love that answer.
Joker is another guy.
The thing that I think puts Joker over on other evil bosses is the randomness. You don't know. He might be having a good day, and you might still get shot
exactly.
in the face.
You could do a great job.
Yeah.
Too bad.
Right?
But here's the thing. How long has the Joker been killing henchmen? Who is so desperate for work or like,
people that are desperate,
right,
I guess.
I found him on Craigslist. I know about the guy. Like, maybe I'm the exception. Maybe I'm the one that'll be fine. And like, what's the upside? You get to live in a crappy, burnt out building.
Yeah, you get to live in an abandoned amusement park.
Yeah, working for a psychopath wearing a funny costume. And if you do well, Batman beats the shit out of you and you get arrested. If you do poorly, the Joker shoots you, or maybe he just shoots you for no reason.
Feeds you to his hyenas.
Or sprays you with acid out of his flower.
Yeah. No thanks.
Yeah. The Joker. Solid answer. Good to hear from you, D. Let's go to the Orca up in Maine. I'm sure he's bitching about something.
Okay. So for this week's answer, I had to yell creative-like. It's a bit of a stretch. He's really a TV character. But it's since been in a number of comics, and any chance we get to laud the merits of this seminal work of our time should be taken advantage of. The worst boss in comics or cartoons is Mr. Monty Burns from The Simpsons.
All right.
This guy is always amusing, but pure evil. Mean, mean, mean. For example, in episode 67, when referring to his employees, he says to Smithers, "Give the unwashed a pair of oversized breasts and a happy ending, and they'll oink for more." Brilliant. In episode 131, he's filling out a medical history form at the doctor's office, and it inquires as to how his parents died. He just puts, "Got in my way." Love that. Then in episode 352, he's talking to Lisa's Junior Achievers Club, and he gives us this gem: family, religion, and friendship. These are the three demons you must slay to be successful. Finally, in episode 294, when his mansion burns down and he inexplicably has to live with the Simpsons, he gets bored with their monotonous lives and tells Bart that unless he goes all Bozark on Lisa, he's going to put Marge's blue waffle in his Chinese basket and make them all watch. Hysterical. Okay, so three of those things actually happened, and the fourth is from some fanfic that I'm working on. You get the picture. Mr. Burns is the worst boss ever. Kiss, kiss, boys.
Thankfully, I didn't really understand anything he said at the end there.
Oh, you didn't pick up on it?
I mean, I got the gist of it, but yeah. I didn't understand it specifically.
Let's just say he's addressing some taboos.
Yeah.
And fan fiction on the internet, good place to investigate those taboos. Mr. Burns is definitely one of the worst bosses out there in comics or animation, period. He is sort of the Simpsons' very own supervillain. He's their Dr. Doom.
Sure. Right. Yeah.
He has hordes of money. We have no idea how old he is. He's been artificially extending his life, possibly. Could be a vampire.
Probably.
He has robot dogs with bees in their mouth that shoot beads when they bark at you. I love Mr. Burns. That is an excellent answer. And in typical Orca fashion, he took it to a disgusting place. Thank you, sir. We got an MP3 here from Skylar Walker. He's a new regular. He's turning into our new Saturday morning thing, if you know what I mean.
Ooh.
Regular Saturday.
Hey, John, Matt, this is Skylar Walker calling in with my answer to the question of the week. And I'm going to be purposefully oblique here because I want a unique answer. Rather than your JJJs or your LLs, I'm going with Owlman as the boss of Talon. As most recently interpreted by Jeff Johns, on Earth 3, Thomas Wayne Jr. murdered Dick Grayson's parents, kidnapped him, and manipulated him into becoming so emotionally dependent on Owlman that he would work alongside him. Basically, he gave him the ass bar, which is All-Star Batman and Robin for the uninitiated treatment.
Nice.
While the execution was typical John's fare,
like, what are you, some kind of retard?
Meaning, resting at the most direct and surface level plotting, I found this idea so unbearably creepy that I had nightmares about it. Let's remove the comfortable distance comic books afford us and examine it on the most literal level. A 6'2", 200-pound fetish murderer dressed in razors killed your family, kidnapped you, and ritualistically abused you until you were so mentally broken that you became his soldier in his mission of explicit social degradation.
Yeah,
it's like Skylar's reading my autobiography.
Well, sounds legit. I want Hellman and Talon book yesterday. Okay, that's it for my answer to the question of the week.
Very musical.
Man,
that was beautiful.
We need musical outros for every call.
Yeah, I like that. That was good. Extra points for that, Skylar. I dig it.
There are no points.
Sure there are. Owlman. Just a bad boss. Terrible father figure.
Terrible everything, really.
Yeah.
I guess I did not read whatever story he was referencing. He said Jeff Johns, which made me think it must have been something from Forever Evil, but I don't remember that occurring in Forever Evil.
Could be. I'm not really sure either. Skylar, do me a favor. Go to the forums. Give us an editor's note.
I mean, I don't really care that much about revisiting those dark days, but
I'm just curious. Do us a favor. Go to the question of the week, this from this section. Give us an editor's note. I'm just curious where that happened. I'm not saying I don't believe you. I just want to check it out. Thank you for your call. Thank you for your musical outro. That was beautiful. You're a sick, twisted guy, and that's why we love you. You know who's not, though? Our master of coin, Mr. Stephen Fino.
Stephen says, attached is my answer to the question of the week. I tried and failed to come up with some sort of money-related joke to start things off with. So I started by dumping a jar of coins on my desk.
All right, that'll work. That'll work. It's like Scrooge McDuck swimming in his vault.
I love it.
Hello, Ken. This is Lord Steven, Master of Coins, sending in my answer to the question of the week in regards to worst comic book bosses. So my original pick for a character with the worst boss was just every single person who works for their organization. But since I had to be more specific, I'm going with specifically Hoover. an agent of the Grail working under the command of Hairstar in Garth Ennis's comic Preacher.
Yeah.
So the organization is set up to protect the genetic purity of the children of Jesus Christ, which was accomplished through inbreeding, and that goes about as well as you would expect. To quote Hairstar, son of man or son of God, you can't f*** your sister and expect much good to come of it. So the first leader of the Grail is Allfather D'Aranique, or he's the first we are introduced to. He's an absurdly obese, bulimic man who rules the organization with an iron fist, allowing nothing to stand in the way of his power and the Grail's mission. He is killed off in a coup by Hairstar, who then kills both the Allfather and the Jesus' descendant, and changes the mission from protecting the line of Christ to just revenge on Jesse Custer. Under his command, the entire organization essentially is murdered brutally by either Jesse Custer and company or the Saint of Killers. Hoover, in particular, has it really badly because he is just absurdly incompetent. And I can't really go into details on that without getting into spoilers. So yeah, Hoover is my pick for the character with the worst boss. See ya.
Second person to mention Hairstar.
Yeah.
It's a very good answer.
Hoover's story in Preacher is...
tragic is not strong enough of a word.
It's really upsetting what happens to that guy.
Yeah. It goes beyond tragedy to just like, why am I reading this?
But yeah, I mean, it's bad. What happens, what Jesse does to him is bad enough, but when he finally like frees himself from it and comes back, like what he has to put up with when he comes back is...
Yeah, and the sad part is like Hoover really is just a guy...
He's a good person.
...doing his job.
Yeah.
And he's not...
He thinks he's doing the right thing.
Yeah, I mean, he's working for the church, you know? He thinks he's doing the right thing, and he just... gets caught up in the wrong situation.
That's a great answer, Steven.
That is a great answer. Thank you, Steven. And I like the coin joke. That was good. That was good. All right, Ket Nerd. I'm not going to read your email because it's too much of a spoiler, but I see you working.
Hey guys, Ket Nerd here. Who has the worst boss in comics? Well, I'll tell you who. Dick Grayson, Tim Drake, Barbara Gordon, Damian Wayne, and that poor, miserable, one-handed, sad bastard with a T-set, Alfred Pennyworth. Seriously, guys, we all love Batman, but can you honestly tell me that working for Bruce Wayne is anything other than a waking nightmare? Forget for a second that he would train you to be a ninja acrobat detective. That part is admittedly pretty cool, but would it ever be good enough for the guy? Think about it. Bruce Wayne is the biggest perfectionist in comics. He sets an impossible standard for a career in crime fighting. Batman is also arguably the most obsessive character in comics, and that's even measuring against characters in his own rogues gallery. You know what that means? The guy never slacks. At all. No vacations, lunches, weekends, nothing. Like, have you ever faked a sick day and then just slept in and took yourself to the movies at 3 p.m.? And then the next day you show up for your shift and your boss totally knows you were lying? Now imagine if that boss was Batman. And the fact that he treats his employees like family only makes it worse. Batman's various wards, apprentices, and employees don't just show up to bust supervillains and then collect a check. They're constantly called on to take on the emotional labor of their boss's very serious psychological issues. I've had some pretty... bosses in my time, but I'm thankful that I've never been called on to enable or intervene in their mad, self-destructive mission to become an engine of vengeance. Can you blame so many Robins for just bugging out? If you had to choose between dealing with Bruce Wayne and moving to Bloodhaven and dating an alien swimsuit model, what would you do? Okay, maybe you guys can tell, but that last issue of Batman really got to me. Poor Alfred. Anyways, as usual, you can check out my podcast Galacticus on iTunes and my comics and illustrations at KetNerd.com. Thanks, guys.
Fade him out here. One of my favorite post-hardcore bands, Born Against, in the background. It's good stuff if you like, you know, screamy, angular hardcore. But he's right. Batman in all his incarnations. At his nicest, Batman at his sweetest and most fluffy, still a total head. Like, why anybody wants to stick by him? I mean, honestly, and for so long, Batman's been such a fucking jerk for so long. I'm not even talking about I'm the goddamn Batman, you retard, like All-Star or what they call it. Ass Rab.
Ass Rab, yeah. Oh, yeah, All-Star Batman. Ass Bar.
Ass Bar. Now, I'm not even talking about that Frank Miller Batman. I'm talking about just plain old Batman. You can't please him. You're never going to make him happy. He's never going to crack a joke. He's never going to smile.
He's never going to stop.
He's never going
to
stop.
He won't listen to reason.
He doesn't care about, I mean, he cares about you to an extent, but if you fuck up and get in the way, you're gone.
Good answer.
Good answer, Cat Nerd. That was almost my answer, but
I still don't really have an answer.
Once again, you jerks outsmart us at every turn. You guys are really good at this. Let's go to David Robbins calling in on the Google Voice line.
Greetings, Joe and Matt. David Robbins calling in with my answer to the question of the week. Calling in on my way to work, so I do not forget to call on my way home from work and miss the deadline.
Good for you.
Looking at the worst bosses in comic books. As a journalism major when I was in college, there is nobody else. He's the guy that plays boss to Robbie Robertson, to Ben Urich, Betsy Brandt, Eddie Brock, and, of course, Peter Parker, old flat top himself, J. Jonah Jameson. I think somewhere along the lines, he started out as a good newsman, wanting to actually get the truth out to the people.
And I don't think so.
Somewhere along the lines, just became paranoid that Spider-Man was an actual villain.
He's a menace!
And nobody could tell him otherwise. Everybody, I'm sure, knows that one person in their life that is absolutely convinced of something that is 100% wrong, and nobody can tell them otherwise. They just will not listen to reason. Anyway, that's all I've got this week, guys. Keeping it short and sweet, and I'll catch you on the next one. Keep up the good work. Welcome to the show. Later.
Thank you, David.
Triple J. We saw it coming. We named a drink after him.
I mean, it's hard not to have that be my answer, but...
The guy is a terrible boss.
As far as the whole crusading newsman thing, like, in the comics, Jonah has never been portrayed as anything but the way he is now, though they do occasionally flash back to his origins, where he was once a crusading journalist in the vein of, right, you know, Perry White or whatever.
At some point, J. Jonah Jameson was a good guy.
But he became broken down and cynical about it.
He went power mad, as, you know, some editors do, I guess. How he stayed relevant all this time when he's been proven wrong every single time.
Well, except, I mean, they did what they had to. It's like
the man bought an army of robots called the Spider Slayers.
Yeah.
That had his picture on the screen on their chest.
Well, yeah, it showed his face on the TV.
Sent them out to kill Spider-Man.
To capture, not kill.
Oh, please.
I mean, they were,
and New York
was
just like,
Slayers.
Hey, I'm glad we got a newspaper editor like him running the local paper.
Yeah.
Like, come on.
Well, and then he became the mayor.
Yeah, and then he was mayor after that.
Oh, boy.
It was a whole thing.
It's a whole thing for sure.
Triple J, hard to argue with. Thanks, Dave. Always good to hear from you, man. This podcast is being interrupted for the official Toots Time!
Hey, guys. It's time for the answer of the week.
A Godzilla playing in the background?
And you'll see that over time, I'm correct when I say this guy is the worst boss. Time, you said? Oh, yeah, that's right. It's time! Oh, shit.
Anyway, best one yet.
Yeah.
Let's stop this awesome song for a second.
Wow.
Get serious. Now, way back in 1977, Marvel Comics put out a line of Godzilla comic books, and in those books, there was one dude who was so horrible, and his name is Dum Dum Dugan.
Yeah.
That's right. Not an issue goes by in that comic where he doesn't rip into his team and call them things like idiot, yardbird, which is another word for chicken. Say they have their thumbs in their ears, calls them yo-yos, blasted fools, screwballs, and jerks. Then in issue 3, the champions show up to help defend the city against Godzilla.
The champions.
And he calls those guys costumed clowns, fancy pants amateurs, and weirdos. He calls Hercules an empty-headed vigilante and a hippie bodybuilder. He calls Black Widow toots. And he calls the angel the Tinkerbell fairy. And this goes on. It goes on through the entire series. It's like, man, I would not like to be a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent working under Dum Dum Dugan, because that dude is completely horrible. You're trashing your team. You're breaking their spirits down. Gabe, the guy that works right next to him, you see the effects through the issues. He's just like, okay, Dugan, because you say, and he's like, blasted right because I say so. Jeez. See you later, guys.
I forgot. Like, Dum Dum Dugan was like a supreme prick in the old Marvel Godzilla comics. I'm assuming he went through some shield sensitivity training after that.
I mean, the Godzilla comics are not in continuity.
They were
so.
Like, hey, Dum Dum, let's maybe we don't go after people's race, creed, color, sex.
My Dum Dum Dugan doesn't talk to people like that.
He was a total.
But that is really funny. It's like, we need a real Marvel character in this Godzilla book to kind of connect it to the Marvel universe.
Yeah.
I know just the guy.
Like, oh, I got
Dum Dum.
Perfect. Dum Dum Dugan.
Yeah.
But I'm going to write him like a completely racially and like misogynistic, insensitive jerk.
That's such a good answer.
Who else do you want chasing Godzilla, though? I mean, really? I want a guy that gets results. And if that means he's got to scream some morons and some costume clowns down. So be it. Dum Dum Dugan.
You're blasted right.
The man gets results. Let's go back to the Google voice line.
Hey, Joe and Matt. What's up? This is Marcus coming in to answer this week's question. The question being who has the worst boss in comic books? I at first was tempted to call in and say, like, Peter Parker or old school Peter Parker, you know, working for JJJ. But J. Jonah Jameson's not that bad in the long run. And then I was going to be like, well, any S.H.I.E.L.D. agent got me thinking. I was like, Nick Fury just kind of sucks as a person. But then I was like, no. My answer is regarding S.W.O.R.D. And my answer is any agent who works for S.W.O.R.D. and has the boss of Abigail Brand.
That's fair.
Me, not being someone who wants to swear or likes to swear, but what a beast, you get my drift. Abigail Brand, oh gosh. I'm gonna say the worst comic book boss. She's what a bee. If you want to hear more of just me talking about random things, you can check out. I was wrong last time. It's not the culture of my people, but you can check out whackmatters.com, and you can go check out me and my brother and a friend of ours and the family do a podcast. And I just want to say thanks for listening and having the show. See ya.
Marcus, you're a badass. We love to hear from you. Abigail Brand.
Not a nice person.
Green-haired bee. I'll give you that, man.
Yeah, she's a total bee.
They kind of write her like...
I think they had a show about her on ABC. It was called Don't Trust the Bee in the Flying Short-Shaped Space Station.
I wish you would be able to drop the S.W.O.R.D. acronym into that.
Oh, yeah. It's like Sentient Worlds Observation Reporting and Defense or something like that.
I think that's close. Let's check. Let's just see real quick. Sentient World Observation and Response Department. Don't trust the bee heading the Sentient World Observation and Response Department.
Yeah, I like that.
But they kind of wrote her like, maybe she's not. And I picked this up from her relationship with Hank, because she was sort of dating the beast for a little bit there.
Furry.
That like, she's not necessarily a bitch. She's kind of autistic, you know, like she doesn't sortly.
She's not autistic.
No, I mean, in the sense where like she just doesn't get your stupid human response and she's all about taking care of business.
She's half alien.
Yeah.
So that's problematic.
Yeah. So her emotions are
and like her
different.
Her dad is Fin Fang Foom or something.
I can't remember.
Not really, but from that race, I think.
Yeah, he's definitely an alien. So she didn't totally understand our like stupid human emotions. Sort of like Spock, you know. Where he's like, ugh.
Right, highly illogical.
Yeah, I got to deal with all this highly illogical crap, you know?
Yep.
But she definitely came off as a bitch. I'll say that. Thank you for your call, Marcus. Always good to hear from you, buddy. Let's go to Jeffrey Ketchum.
Ooh, he's joining the MP3 crew with
this
call.
Is he? He is. Look at this guy. He's got a cute little avatar, too. Like a little cartoon
version. He looks just like that.
Does he really?
Yeah.
Nice.
Hey, Joe and Matt. This is Jeff Ketchum, JD Ketch on the Twitter.
Oh,
calling
the fidelity.
In for the answer of the week. I'd have to say that the worst boss in comics, in my opinion, is Dr. Manning with the BPRD. He put a bomb in Roger's chest just because he's a monster. And if you're a human on that team, you might as well be wearing a Star Trek red shirt. That's all I'm saying.
That's true.
Thanks. Enjoy the show. Peace out.
That's true. If you're in the BPRD, you better hope you're some kind of ghost or something.
I was super upset when he killed Roger. It was horrible.
Yeah.
Because Roger was a total sweetheart.
I miss Roger.
That was trying to figure out like what it was to be human. And Manning was like, well, he's a perfect guy to carry this warhead and kill this thing. Like, it's not human. It'll be fine. He doesn't feel anything, right? Ugh. And we forgot. We nicknamed Mr. Ketchum JD gotta catch them all.
Yeah, he says that in his email.
Yeah, JD gotta catch them all.
Gotta catch them all.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love it.
It's a great one. Thank you for your call. You're right. That was a tough one. Now, I will say, solved the problem. He took care of business.
Yeah.
Sometimes the boss has to make the hard decisions.
They could have done it a different way.
Maybe, but it did take care of it. I'm just saying that.
Whatever. Okay? Whatever.
The guy gets results, just like Donald Trump.
You know who else gets results? Jesse Kiefer gets results.
Jesse Kiefer gets results. Let's hear what he's got to say.
Hey, Joe and Matt, it's Jesse from GrawlixPodcast.com sending in my answer of the week. This week, worst comic book bosses. There's a lot of them, but I gotta think, Satan, or some kind of demon. Those have to be the worst kind of boss. And the worst of the worst in that category for me has to be Malbogia from Spawn. So we start with his hiring decisions, okay? He has his eye on this Al Simmons guy and thinks, yeah, I want this guy to work for me. I'm building an army, and this kid has chops. I want him on my team.
I like
his
moxie.
So you cut him the usual deal with the devil that seems to be HR approved. I get your soul, and you work for me, and you can see your loved ones. But of course, that comes with a catch, yada, yada, yada. All very standard operating procedure for hell. Not too bad so far from a hell standpoint anyways. It all goes downhill from there. So you screw over Al by sending him back 5 years later where his wife has moved on, which is fine, you know, because you're a devil like your father before you. I get that. But you know, you made him mad and you gave him all sorts of superpowers. And that's where Malbogia's efficiency and productivity ratings really plummet. First, you gotta train your new employees right off the bat. You send in a demon who doesn't like humans, clearly doesn't take this gig seriously. I mean, he shows up in a clown suit, and he would rather just kill old Spawn as train him to be in the big bad hell army. So guess how that plays out? They try to kill each other. And here's where it becomes obvious that you gave Spawn too much power. Not only did you choose bad middle management in the Violator, you gave your grunt enough power to whoop him pretty handily. And so it goes on from there, where Spawn just keeps fighting people and winning, and you never make good on the terms of your employment, because you're a devil. How do you think this is going to end? Without spoiling a decades-old storyline, it doesn't go well for him. If Malbogia were a more competent boss, Spawn would be a very different comic. So, way to go, Malbogia. Your coffee mug does not say world's greatest boss. That's my answer, gentlemen. Have a great week.
I love that Kiefer just gave a performance review of Malbogia. he's not like an asshole. He is an inept boss.
He's just bad at it.
Yeah, you are really bad.
I mean, he's also an asshole, but he's bad at it.
And like the Board of Hell is going to get together and they're going to look at your performance for the last year and you're probably getting fired, dude. You know, our stock is down. You gave this guy all this power. He's just some dude. He whipped your middle manager. That was fantastic. Great call, Jesse. Kind of flipped this on its wig, too.
I love it. Yeah, that was well done.
That was great. Malbolgia. What a dumb name for the devil and version of the devil, too. You could have brought that up. Clay Staley. He's hitting us up, and he asks, he asked for a soundtrack. Clay, I'm going to take care of you, brother.
Hey guys, it's King of Nicknames, Clay, calling in to the Yob Stoner Metal cast. What's up?
It's just the Yobcast.
You guys asked this week, what's the worst boss in comics? And I just know this is the perfect question to inspire all the listeners to call in with their very meta answers, like, the character with the worst comics boss is Batman because he is governed by his guilt and rage at his parents' death. Yeah, screw that. I'm just going to give a very straightforward actual boss who I hope is not taken by too many other people, and that is Mike Appleby, Tony Chu's boss in the comic Chu. He's weird and gross and angry and fairly arbitrary with what he is angry about. No matter how competent Tony is as an agent, Appleby is always going to hate him and send him on every awful assignment, actively work to discredit him or dismiss him, look for any excuse to fire him, in addition to actively trying to get him killed at various points. So he just seems like a weird, gross guy. Also, he is in a serious, unrequited, loving relationship with Tony's partner, which makes things even more awkward and weird.
Which I think is hilarious.
Yeah. Anyway, hopefully you guys like that answer. I will talk to you soon.
I like that answer a lot because Applebee is sort of like the classic jerk chief.
Yeah,
in
right.
every like 80s and 90s cop film,
right.
you know, like, give him a break, chief. At least he gets results. That's a very, very good answer out of the box, too. I like it.
I love it when people call in and they go, I hope not too many people have this answer. And then it's like the most obscure thing.
Or they also like make fun of everybody else's answer. like that, too.
Let's Excellent. Clay, king of nicknames Staley. I love it.
Anyway, we gave him the best nickname ever. Yeah. Clay Staley.
King of nicknames.
Yeah, there you go. King of nicknames, Clay Staley. Let's go to Nate Aguilar. This guy's been hitting us every week. Nate Aguilar hits us with an MP3. I played on an indoor soccer team with this guy. We were terrible. And I got kicked out for threatening a member of the Creighton soccer team. A male member of the Creighton soccer team that took my wife to the boards. And that guy was too much of a pansy to fight me. So, Nate, take it away.
Hey, nerds. This is Nate calling in with my answer for the question of the week. Horrible bosses. The boss I picked that I thought would be the worst to work for would be the Marvel Universe incarnation of Death, also known as Lady Death. and these are the points that I went through just as I was spitting ball things around. Number one, application requirements. Well, generally speaking, to work for Death, you have to be dead. So there's a bummer to start out on. Number two, starting salary. Oh, never mind, you're dead. Plus, there's not a whole lot of raises that get handed out.
Because you're dead.
Get it? Raises?
From the dead.
Dead.
Okay, from sorry, the dead.
We'll just skip that one. Location, Realm of the Dead. Yeah, first of all, the one-way commute is a bit of a bitch to deal with. Second of all, oh yeah, you can't leave because you're dead. Job requirements. This is where it gets fun. Yay. Unless you're like an employee / lover like Thanos and Deadpool get to be, your entire existence is really just to sit around and pretty much wait until you get to be fodder for some monumentally tough being to mow through while on a quest or something. So, yay. And then finally, the boss herself, Death, the ultimate butterface. Not really that talkative. Imagine how tough it would be getting any sort of direction for her. You know, you walk into her office and you're like, hey, so yeah, me and the other minions, we're just sitting here wondering if, you know, there's anything to do. Hello? Nothing? Anything? Oh, look, you're doing the whole silent thing again. That's great. Okay, I guess we'll just get back to making more furniture out of these bones that seem to be lying everywhere, even though the only souls that come here, not the actual dead person's corporeal body. But you know, hey, whatever. Yeah, we'll just go back to playing with the world's worst Lincoln log set. See ya! So yeah, guys, that's my answer. Have a great week. Thanks.
That's a great answer, and I'm not sure, like, they've never really established, like, what Thanos sees in Death.
He's in love with her. Love is blind.
Why?
I don't know.
I mean, like, honestly, like, like, why? It's not like she's any fun to hang out with. They don't seem to have, I mean, I guess they have similar interests and they like people dying, I guess. But oh, that was our final call.
It was our final call.
I didn't even realize that was our final call. The next one is Jeffrey Patterson talking about his nerd wedding.
Yeah, so Jeff Patterson, who we spoke to on a couple weeks previous, talked about his wedding and about how they drove up in a DeLorean and how his groomsmen all dressed like superheroes.
He's not fucking kidding.
He sent some photos and they are glorious. They did indeed.
How in the hell did they get this DeLorean?
Drive up in a DeLorean,
Holy
yeah.
Holy shit.
I want to know how his wife got in and out of the DeLorean in that dress.
Oh, my God.
Because it seems pretty low to the ground.
We got The Thing, Superman, Batman.
Black Bolt.
Black Adam over here. And then one guy's at an angle and we can't see
him. Well, I think one guy's Shazam and one guy's Black Adam.
Okay, Superman. Yeah, this is awesome. You guys had a rad wedding. That is great. But it's nothing compared to my dad's wedding, he says.
Well, that's a story for another time.
Yeah, get us those pictures.
In the meantime, Jeffrey's Comics, Fit 15900 Crenshaw Boulevard, Gardenia, California, facebook.com/ Jeffrey's Comics.
That's Crenshaw.
That's Jeffrey with a G.
He's down in Compton, dude.
Check it out. Eisner Award nominated.
Favorite call. Favorite call, Joe Patrick.
I mean, it's hard not to give it to Toots because that was such an impassioned.
Back when Dum Dum Dugan was a real insensitive prick.
But I think I'm going to give it to. I think I'm going to give it to Jesse Kiefer.
I am too. Because of the performance review of Malbolgia.
We got a lot of problems with how you do things around here, yeah, Malbolgia.
It's not necessarily that, like, you're a jerk or, like, you're doing it, you know, like, you're really mean to your employees. It's like, you are technically a bad boss.
You gave your, let's call them what it is. You gave your slaves.
You're right.
Enough power to kick your ass.
Yeah.
It's like, is it your first day?
You are this is a vote of no confidence. You are an ineffective boss.
Yeah, I love the way he presented that. Yeah, it was
Kiefer
really
killed
excellent.
It. That was great. Mm.
But all of these are good.
They're all great.
The dumb, dumb one really tickled me. But Anthony's Ozzyman Diet's case.
Yeah, that was
excellent.
Solid. D's pointing out how, like, dumb it is to work for the Joker.
Yeah.
I couldn't agree more.
Yep, these are all really good.
Yeah, Owlman. Whoa, Jesus, Skyler. That's just disturbing.
I also loved the Orca's takedown of Mr. Burns.
No, he didn't really take down Mr. Burns, though. He loved all of Mr. Burns.
Oh, yeah, I guess that's true.
Evil ideas.
Yeah, that's true.
Let's get to us.
All right, you go first, because I'm still thinking.
All right. I'm going to jump right out of the world of comics, and I'm going to go into the real world, and I'm going to call someone out.
Now, hold on.
No, I'm doing it.
What are you doing?
I'm getting meta.
Because
I'm going to call someone out.
The question has rules.
Does it? It said, worst boss in comics.
Okay, fair. I'll allow it.
So I'm going to the real world. This is someone that I have complained about very loudly for going on, I'm going to say 15 years. I do not understand.
Oh man, is it
why
DC?
They still
is
have their position? I do not understand why they maintain their job. And I would liken it to the same big financial bosses on Wall Street that suffer huge losses but get these giant bonuses. Because what would we do without them? My award for worst boss in comics, and the people who have the worst boss in comics, is everyone that works at DC Comics. For Dan DiDio.
You know, he's not the only one in charge, right?
You know what? He has been the guy. He has been the guy.
He's just the face.
For how many years now? How many years has he been running this shit?
Like, I'm not defending him, but he answers to other people.
I get that. But ultimately, he makes himself the face. He puts himself on everything.
He is the face,
He
right.
sticks himself out there.
Yeah, you're right.
That is his fault. Dan DiDio, worst boss in comics. I do not trust you. I do not like you. I do not like the way you have treated and talked about other creators. Creators I love. Publicly fired and talked crap about certain creators. And I'm not going to go into all the old arguments. You know who they are, Dan. I don't know you personally. You might be a nice guy, but in my head,
you're talking about him pretty personally.
You are a bastard. And I want you removed from power, and I want DC Comics free of your slavery.
I mean, you might be a nice guy, but really, I want you to lose your job.
Dan DiDio, worst boss in comics.
Okay. Wow.
Joe Patrick.
Man, you really went there. You went for it.
I'm calling him out. I'm sick of it. I'm totally sick of it. I've been screaming about this guy literally since we started working at Krypton back in the day. How many years
ago?
No names. Sorry. Literally since we started working together at the same comic shop 15 years ago, maybe.
Anyone that cares knows where it is.
Let's just say it's Krypton Comics.
Yeah, we used to work for Krypton Comics. Who cares? Yeah, I mean,
it continues to this day. Drives me nuts. I don't get it. How can you do such a terrible job?
I remember the first time.
And maintain your job. I don't get it.
I remember the first time I became aware of Dan DiDio as an entity.
Yeah.
And that was when he took over co-writing Superboy with Jimmy Palmiotti.
Oh, God.
And John McCrae, Hitman's John McCrae did the art. And Superboy was on its last legs. It was on its way out. And it was nearing issue 100. They kind of did a soft, a tonal relaunch of Superboy, where they recast the book as this like hilarious situational comedy about him becoming the superintendent of a apartment building
so
full of shitty people, just like that movie with Joe Pesci, you know, yeah. The super.
God.
And I'm just
which cleaned house at the box office. What
is this hot garbage?
Well, let me ask you a question. Let me pose this. Is there anything that you can point to in his career that you would say, thank you, Dan DiDio, you really nailed that
Look, man, I'm not defending Dan DiDio. Anything. I'm not here to defend
Countdown?
Dan
Countdown? Remember that? Countdown's going to be 52 done right.
Yeah.
That's a direct quote.
Yes.
52 kicked ass. Featured creators that we loved. Greg Rucka, Mark Waid, guys that we loved.
Yeah, yeah, no. Countdown is terrible.
And Dan DiDio hated that shit. Hated it. Talked a bunch of smack about it. Talked a bunch of smack about those creators. Mark Waid will never work for DC again as long as Dan DiDio is there. Guarantee it. That
I'm not arguing
you
with you.
Mark Waid is one of the greatest guys in comics.
You don't have to keep convincing me. I get it.
Boss in comics.
All right, already. God.
Boom.
Jeez.
Take it away, Joe Patrick.
Okay, so I settled on an answer and nobody really picked it, and that's good. I've decided to pick Lex Luthor, but specifically.
Okay, all right.
Specifically, I'm talking about the fat cat businessman Lex Luthor.
Of course.
From post-crisis DC, pre-Flashpoint.
Well, even President Lex Luthor was pretty.
Well, that's all part of the same guy.
Yeah.
Part of the same character's run.
It's true.
So this is Lex Luthor. In a nutshell, he hires an all-female staff because he's a huge misogynist.
Yeah. Even superpowered females.
Yeah. Some. Later he's got these bodyguards.
His bodyguard, Mercy.
Yep. I believe one of them was an Amazon. There was Hope and Mercy. One of them was an Amazon.
I think they both turned out to be Amazons.
No, in the cartoons.
Oh, no. One of them was a robot and one of them was an Amazon.
Well, she's like a cyborg. She's got like bionic arms and stuff.
Yeah.
Hires a scientist to prove once and for all the secret identity of Superman is so egotistical that he denies the evidence.
Right.
And ruins the scientist's life.
Well,
despite the fact that she's right.
Yeah, she nailed it. Nailed it. It's like it's Clark Kent. And he's like, that is ridiculous.
Superman number two.
Yeah.
The second issue. She's like, no problem. Beep, 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 boop. Clark Kent is Superman. That's bull. You're fired and your life is over. Flash forward many years later, gets cancer from wearing a ring made out of kryptonite.
Oof.
Forces his scientific lackeys to clone a body. And implants his mind into it and poses as his own son.
Gross.
And fakes his death.
Gross.
Fakes the death of the dad body, becomes his own son.
That's like weird. That's some kind of incest, right?
It's not incest.
I feel like it. I feel like it counts.
In the guise of Lex Luthor Jr., pretends outwardly to be this super nice, charitable businessman, manages to almost brainwash Supergirl.
Yes.
The Supergirl of the time, the Matrix, you know what? I don't need to go into what Matrix was. She was Supergirl at the time.
Yeah, this was an extremely confusing time for Supergirl.
But so he was posing as a different person, pretending to be a different person, wooed this woman, very powerful, got her on his side, showed his true colors. And tried to ruin her life as well.
Yeah.
Guess what? When you tried to have sex with somebody by claiming to be somebody else, that is called rape.
Technically, yes.
Yeah, no, that's not technically, legally. That is rape.
Technically and legally, yes. I'm going
to
do it.
Hired a personal trainer to spar with him and to help him during his workouts.
Oh, yeah.
And when said physical trainer actually beats his ass during a training session, not beats his ass, but embarrasses him.
Right.
Quote unquote. He has her killed and he disappears her and has her killed.
Yeah.
And that mystery becomes this big plot point in Superman comics where this family's daughter is just gone. Superman, where's my daughter? And she ended up becoming one of the Bloodlines characters.
Oh, God.
Because she was bitten by one of the parasites and got superpowers and came back for revenge.
It all comes full circle to a question of the week 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. So that's Lex Luthor, the sort of guy that is just awful all the time.
Yeah.
Not only in public, but also in private. But in private, he's 1,000 times worse.
He's the Donald and Trump yet, of DC Comics.
People love him for it.
He is the Donald Trump of DC Comics.
When it was eventually revealed that Lex Luthor Jr. was Lex Luthor Sr. in a clone body.
Yeah.
And his body started to degrade. He said, if I can't have Metropolis, no one can. And tried to burn the whole place down. Later, in trial, after, by the way, he sold his soul to Neron for a...
Jesus.
For a cured human body. He went to trial for all of his crimes. And he convinced the court that wasn't me. That was a clone. And that clone went crazy.
And the court was like, yeah, that okay.
But the thing is that
sounds
like,
feasible.
They trotted like Luther trotted out some mindless clone that was just blathering insanities into the middle of the courtroom. Is like, look, see,
like, never mind that I've been cloning humans,
right?
Which is disgusting in and of itself.
So yes, he's done all these horrible things: cheated death, cheated human beings, cheated super beings, cheated the devil, and also tricked the court into forgiving him of all of his awful crimes.
I'm going on record, way worse than J. Jonah Jameson.
Yeah, way worse.
Way worse.
Because J. Jonah Jameson, has never murdered somebody.
You can say that Jameson is crazy. You can say that, like, he commits all manner of acts of yellow journalism and he's biased or whatever. He's not a murderer. He doesn't make deals with the devil.
Yeah, right.
That's an excellent answer. I can't believe nobody else came up with Lex Luthor. That's a great answer.
I think that there were some people that hesitated from picking those answers because they thought they'd be too obvious. All
right. Everybody had great answers,
though. I take advantage of that.
Everybody had great answers. That was fun. We're done with this. It's time to talk about next week's question. Joe Patrick.
I'm ready.
Let's do it. You're actually ready this time.
I'm ready.
I'm impressed.
The new question of the week comes from Carl Smith. You may know him as Camarillo Brillo.
He screamed and cried until we picked it.
He threw a fit until I picked his question, and here we
fell in it.
Carl writes, as comic fans, we're pretty good at suspension of disbelief, stuff like LMDs and time travel. But sometimes they take it too far. So I want the listeners to tell us the most unbelievable, hardest to swallow thing that they've seen in comics.
There are so many.
I already have it.
I don't even know where to start.
I've got it. Number one with a bullet.
I'm going to have to do some homework on this one. We'll be back with another episode of the Two-Headed Nerd comic book podcast this weekend. And of course, we'll have another answer of the week right after that. Our Alec Baldwin AI that controls the ziggurat where we live is going to tell you how to get a hold of us one more time here. Thank you, everybody that called. Thank you, everybody, for playing along. We want to hear from all of you. Go to the forums, call us, send us MP3s. We don't have a show without you guys. You're the best. But for now, this is a Two-Headed Nerd signing off.
This is the Ziggurat AI. Alec Baldwin here to thank you for downloading this program. But when Matt is summoned to court for slander, I will of course act like an innocent drone in his evil militia. Really, Matt? You don't think Dadio has Google Alerts set for this kind of criticism? I'm sure your boyfriend Joe will come visit you at the big house. If you'd like to answer the question of the week, you can leave Joe and Matt a message at 402-819-4894. Or send your MP3 answer to twoheadednerd@gmail.com. Remember to share the air and keep your answer under 2 minutes, please. Not that it will matter when Wooly Toots is hosting this show with Joe, while Matt edits from federal in the ass prison.